So you know that feeling when someone asks you to do something that you really, really don't want to do? It's either going to be horribly difficult or painful or time-consuming or all three. And what if you're pretty sure that the nudge is from God, but still you don't want to do it at all? And so you begin this internal struggle with yourself. Well, do I have to do it? I mean, can't someone else take charge? I really don't have the time, and someone else would be much better at it. And then 1,000 rationalizations pop into your head that all boil down into a one big, fat, terrible twos, but I don't wanna. 15 years ago, I was serving my internship here at Mount Olivet. To say that putting a robe on and standing up here after having comfortably sat right over there for my whole entire lifetime was daunting is an understatement. I was sick and nervous and suffered from imposter syndrome nearly every single day. I kept expecting a van of Gustavus officials to show up and say, "Hey, you barely graduated. You can't be here." Well, one Sunday morning, Pastor Youngdahl and I were sitting right back here in the sacristy when our funeral coordinator came in and said someone was in need of a pastor to do a funeral on Friday at 3:00 in the afternoon. Well, I wasn't even listening because I wasn't a pastor. And without even pausing for a breath, Pastor Youngdahl says, "Monique will do it." I just sat there blinking, thinking he was giving me the business. And he sat there eyeballing me, waiting for me to respond. "Well, I can't do it," I said. "I'm not even a pastor yet." "You can do it," he calmly replied. "I'll help you." "Well, no, I can't. I wouldn't even know what to say, and I'd be too nervous, and what if I blew it? What would that mean?" "You can do it," he said. "I'll help you." "Well, I'll think about it and get back to you in the morning." And for those of you who knew Pastor Youngdahl, you know how funny that response was. Pastor looked at me and said, "If you can't get up there and be absolutely joyful for the person who died and absolutely certain that they are with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you have no business being a pastor." "So, Friday at 3, did you say?" I still remember that Friday as if it was yesterday. My palms are wet thinking about it. I was sitting in the parking lot of Washburn McCreevy, willing myself to go in. The family was waiting, the funeral director was waiting, and I was frozen solid, gripping the steering wheel, palms sweating, praying, "Please, dear Lord, help me, guide me, make me go in." 2:45, 2:50, 2:55. I kept watching every car that drove by Main Street in Hopkins. Sure, the Pastor Youngdahl or Fuzzy or Kotze would come in a Superman cape and say, "Just kidding, we've got this." At 2:55, realizing there was no way out of it, I took a deep breath, said a prayer, and headed in. And standing just inside the door with outstretched arms and the kindest, most loving, encouraging smile I had ever seen was Mr. David Bratrud, Mount Olivet usher, father of my friend Mark. I thought you might be a little nervous, so I switched shifts so I could be there for you. Wow, truly an angel sent by God. I let him envelop me in his arms, and I thought, Holy Spirit. It seems like more often in life than not, that's exactly how it works. We feel God's nudge calling us to do something, to get involved, to help out, to do our part to help others in this thing called life. And then human doubt sets right on in. And that is exactly what happened to the boy Samuel one night long, long ago. Sound asleep on the temple floor near the burning oil lamp of God, he was awakened by a voice, "Samuel, Samuel." Startled out of sleep, he jumps up and runs into the next room where his adoptive father and priest Eli is sleeping. Here I am, for you have called me." The old priest, whose eyesight was growing dim, said, "I did not call you, my son. Go back and go to sleep." Again, the boy hears his name, Samuel. He runs back to sleeping Eli and says, "Here I am, for you called me. I did not call you, my son. Go back and lie down." A third time, Samuel hears his name and runs to Eli. "Here I am, for you called me." It was then that the elderly, loving priest and father figure realizes that it's God who's calling the boy. And so he advises him, "Go back and lie down, and the next time you hear your name, answer, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And that is exactly what he did. Then the Lord came and stood there and told him that he was about to do something that would make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. He told Samuel of something terrible that was going to happen to Eli and his sons. And when the sun came up in the morning, Eli, the man who had raised him, asked, "What did the Lord say, Samuel?" I imagine Samuel reacted like all of us would when asked to do something we'd really rather not. Shuffling his feet, rationalizing, fearful, not wanting to tell this dear old man what God had planned for him. So God sends encouragement, an angel, ironically old Eli himself. What did he say? "Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me," that God said. So Samuel spills the beans. He tells him every single thing that God said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Eli, in his wisdom, born of age and pain and faith, says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." There is so much to this story. If you have a moment this week, read 1 Samuel, starting at verse 1 up until this story of Samuel's calling. You'll hear of his mom, Hannah, and how desperate she was to have a baby, so desperate that she pleaded with God. And of Eli, who told her God would indeed bless her with a son. And of when that son, Samuel, was born, somehow, inexplicably, the mom takes that baby boy and brings him to the church and hands him over, lending him to the Lord to do his work. Hence him sleeping on the floor of the temple that night next to the lamp of God. The powerful prayer she sings to God. The timeless question, does a father pay the price when a son sins? And finally, a reminder that even when we're feeling old and tired and beyond our prime, that like Eli, God will use our wisdom to teach the next generation. Such a rich story. For this morning, however, we focus on just these verses and are reminded that like Eli, when you feel God tugging at your sleeve to do something you'd really rather not do, when the excuses and rationalizations start flowing like water, and you're sitting in the parking lot with your hands frozen to the steering wheel, filled with self-doubt, take a deep breath, say a prayer, and show up. You just might find that God has placed an angel sitting right inside the door with outstretched arms and the kindest smile, who who will help you through. Our gospel challenge for this week is this. The next time you feel that nudge to step out of your comfort zone and to step in to saying yes, take that leap of faith and just say yes, knowing that God will help you through. Like Samuel and Eli and all of us doing our best to do God's will. Amen.